A very good morning and a blessed Lord's Day to everyone. It is so wonderful to be found in the house of the Lord to worship Him. Thank the Lord for seeing us through another week, for His mercy and His grace follow us all the days of our life. Indeed, we thank God for His mercy and grace that sustained and blessed us. We thank God for the return of the Lord's Day that we may assemble as His people, a corporate body to worship Him. So may I request that you join me as I look to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our dear Father God, we thank you for giving us your word. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Holy Spirit, take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in Christ's likeness. And it is in His holy name we pray. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning is Mark 7, 24 to 30. We are almost halfway through the Gospel of Mark. And I trust that the Word of God has been profitable for our souls. Now, last Lord's Day, Pastor Wendell dwelt with the questions of the root of sin and defilement. And he emphasized that true purity and defilement are matters of the heart, not external actions, such as the traditions of men. Our hearts are totally deprived. And only by grace alone, through faith, trusting in Jesus and in Him alone, can we find salvation, life, and hope. And we are encouraged that we ought to preach the gospel to ourselves frequently. Today's scriptures continues with the theme of sin and defilement. And today's passage shows that there is no longer a distinction between clean and unclean people. We talked about clean and unclean food last week. But now it is no longer distinction between clean and unclean people. No, in one sense, we are all unclean. We are all sinful. Totally corrupted because of our sin. But when it comes to Christ, there is no longer distinction between Jews and Gentiles. Jesus is a Savior for all peoples and for all nationalities. As shown in His conversation with this woman from Phoenicia, the Syro-Phoenician woman. Let's look at the text, verse 24. This is the unexpected setting. And from there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, a few quick observations here. First, notice Jesus went north to the region of Tyre. And Tyre represented one of the most extreme expressions of paganism, both actually and symbolically. It was dominated and saturated with various, in fact, with many idols and pagan practices. The predominant figure of worship was a goddess they call Astatic. ecstatic. And this is a God of love, you know, fertilities, wars, and hurting. Now, why would Jesus want to go to such a place that is dominated by paganism? Now, for one, we know that Jesus had a great commissioned mindset. A great commissioned mindset. And by going there, Jesus was demonstrating that God's kingdom knows no ethnic, racial, or national barriers. Jesus Christ is the greatest missionary who ever lived on this planet. Remember the key verse of the Gospel of Mark. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to give salvation to all who believe. And this is certainly true. He came the greatest distance from heaven to earth to bring the good news of salvation. And he also made the greatest sacrifice, giving his life in the place of sinners that we might be reconciled with God. And yet, in spite of the fact that he had no planes to carry him around the world, no trains, no cars to speed him across various countries, but in his brief 3 years of earthly ministry, he made time to travel to foreign soil to give us a glimpse of God's great commission, demonstrating beyond question that God's kingdom knows no ethnic, racial, national, or even gender barriers. Indeed, all who come to him will find salvation from the one who could not be hid, verse 24, and the one who does all things well. Mark packages two healing miracles that take place in pagan Gentile territory. And one is the healing of a demon-possessed little girl, which is in our passage this morning. And the other is the healing of a deaf man with a speech impediment, you know, obstruction. And that will be found in the next passage. Now, both demonstrate that God's kingdom has come and Jesus is God's man for all people. Contrary to the religious and racial extremists, no one is so unclean that they cannot receive the blessings and the touch of Jesus Christ. Whether you are Jews or Gentiles, you know, you can be saved. Now, not only in unexpected territory, we see that he also, you know, broke barrier, breaking encounter in verses 25 to 27. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Now, not only was Jesus crossing countries, going to, you know, different regions, he was crossing three cultural, traditional barriers. The Phoenician was a woman, a Gentile, and a mother. Jesus was a Jew. He was born in the Jewish homeland and raised in the Jewish faith. He studied the Jewish scriptures, worshiped in the Jewish synagogues, and prayed to the Jewish God. And he observed Jewish holidays and tradition. He had Jewish parents, Jewish grandparents. But Jesus was not just a Jew. He was also the Jewish Messiah. He was the one God sent into the world to redeem his people. He was the one prophesied and spoken about in the Old Testament scriptures. He was the one who came in fulfillment of God's promise to his people. He was the Jewish Messiah, born as a Jew, raised as a Jew, ministering among the Jews. There was so much Jewishness about Jesus that it would have been easy for some people to think that Jesus was meant only for the Jews. And actually, the early church was mainly composed of Jewish believers who struggled with the idea that Jesus was for the Gentiles and non-Jews. But look at today. Look at today. Most believers today are not Jewish. And it is the Jews who have a hard time believing that Jesus is meant for them. One of the main messages of Scripture is that Jesus is a Savior for all. Jesus is a Savior for all, both Jews and non-Jews. And this was prophesied in the Old Testament. And it was fulfilled in the church. And it was revealed at various key moments in Jesus' ministry. And this passage is one of those moments. Remember, the Gospel of Mark was mainly written to share the gospel with non-Jews, Gentiles. And so this passage would have special meaning for them. Even during his earthly ministry to the Jews as the Jewish Messiah, Jesus affirmed the faith of this non-Jewish woman and performed a miracle for her daughter. When Mark wrote this gospel around AD 59 to AD 55 to 59, his readers were mostly Gentiles. They were non-Jews. And he shared with them the life of Jesus, focusing on the fact that Jesus is the Savior of God and the Savior of the world. He's the servant of God and the Savior of the world. So let us take a closer look at these two verses, 27 and 28. For it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she answered, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Now, Jesus' response here puzzled us. It catches us off guard a bit. It seems that a little harsh what Jesus said. Why Jesus talk like that? Huh? Why is he so rude? And so we need to understand what Jesus meant by what he said. And then we need to understand why he said it, you know, in this way. What Jesus meant was this. Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. And at this point, his ministry was primarily to the Jews at this point. Okay, God's plan of salvation way back in the Old Testament was to chosen a people through whom he would give the promises of salvation and from whom the promised Savior would come. And it was essential that Jesus came as a Jew to the Jews. For otherwise, he would not be fulfilling his role as the Messiah. But that doesn't mean that he was only a savior for the Jews. It just means that he came to the Jews first in order to fulfill God's plan of salvation for all people from all nations everywhere. Notice Jesus' use of the word first. Let the children be fed first. He used it with the woman. No, it is a very small word, but it makes such a big difference. If you took away that one word first, it would change the whole meaning of everything that follows. You see, salvation came first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles, because God brought the promised Savior of the world into the world through the Jewish nation. In fact, we are very familiar with this verse. The Apostle Paul says the same thing in Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And listen carefully. First to the Jews and then for the Gentiles. Romans 1:16. Yes, the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, but first to the Jews and then for the Gentiles. So here was Jesus in a non-Jewish land, you know, being petitioned by a non-Jewish woman at a time when he had not yet fulfilled his Jewish mission. And so he tells her that this is not yet the time for him to minister to the Gentiles. So you see, that is what Jesus meant by what he said. And now we have to look at why he said it in the way he did. Jesus uses a word picture of children eating at the table. Now remember, Jesus often spoke in parables, right? He often spoke in parables. And here he makes a very simple point through this word picture of children. You don't take the children's food away and then give it to the dogs. You let the children eat all they need first. Now, this statement seems a little harsh. You know, Jesus is calling the Jewish people children and the Gentiles dogs. Calling someone a dog was an insult in that culture. And actually, the Jews often did refer to the Gentiles as dogs. Now, well, if Jesus is being harsh here, he certainly had his reasons. Perhaps he was testing this woman's faith to see how she would respond. But his words don't come across quite as harsh in the original language. Instead of using the normal word for dogs, Jesus uses a word for smaller dogs or even puppies, you know, house pet. And the word actually, dog here is kynorion. So the picture which seems to refer to pets, you know, indoor pet, rather than dogs running wild outside. But either way, whether it is a wild dogs or pet's dog. Jesus used this image to explain why he could not just say yes to this woman's request to hear her daughter. His ministry was focused on the Jewish nation at this moment, at this point, not the Gentiles. And so that brings us to the next verse of this woman's reply. In fact, this woman's faith. And I tell you, if you study the scripture, if you really go through and meditate, you have got to love this woman's perseverance, this woman's faith. And I really, really admire her faith and her humility and her wits. Not only does she not give up, but she uses Jesus' word picture to reframe her request, to put her request another way. Yes, Lord, she replied. But even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Now, this was a remarkable answer. Remarkable answer. First of all, you see, she addressed Jesus as Lord. Yes, Lord. And according to many commentaries, this is the only time in the Gospel of Mark that anyone addresses Jesus as Lord, not even the disciples. Because we would expect, you know, the disciples to call Jesus Lord. But instead, we find it on the lips of this Gentile woman. Syrophoenician woman. Fantastic. Secondly, her answer showed that she understood Jesus' words. A lot of times, people didn't get Jesus' parables. They don't understand. But this woman got it. She understood Jesus' mission to the Jews. And she affirmed Jesus' mission to the Jews, but she also asked for a special request, a special allowance for her daughter. In fact, she was saying, you know, I understand that your mission is to your own people, the Jews first at this time. I don't expect you to abandon that mission and begin a whole new mission to the Gentiles. But surely you can just heal my daughter. Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Fantastic. There are many commentaries and sermon written expounding on this woman's faith, her insights, her humility. And I must say, they are so enriching to my personal understanding, my personal growth. You know, one thing that came to my mind as I was preparing this passage was this statement that I used to make very often. Some of you might remember. I don't mind to be a donkey. I don't mind to be a donkey as long as I'm being used by Jesus to glorify Him. I don't mind being taken advantage or sought change or anything as long as God's name is glorified. Can you say that? Anyway, that was what we see so far. Jesus was in a Gentile territory. He entered a foreign land intentionally. Not only was Jesus crossing countries, when he was engaging with a woman, a Gentile, a mother, he was crossing three cultural barriers. Jesus is showing that mercy is not just for the Jews, but for all. The gospel crosses cultural and social divides. We also mentioned about the woman's faith. Her understanding of grace and humility is deep. Her faith exceeds that of many in Israel. And I really hope that her example will inspire us not to be humble, to exercise a bit more faith in Christ. Finally, we see Jesus' response. Verses 29 to 30. And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your children." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Jesus commended her reply. Jesus praised her. And then he healed her daughter instantly from a distance. Now, why did Jesus commend her reply? Well, as I mentioned, this woman showed remarkable understanding of Jesus' mission and her remarkable faith in Jesus' power to work a miracle for her daughter. She showed remarkable faith in Jesus' character to help her, a Gentile woman. And she showed remarkable perseverance in faith to keep asking Jesus, even though at first, you know, Jesus was rejecting her. Jesus at first was basically telling her all of these things that you ask is not right. But he persevered in asking Jesus. Now all these things were wrapped up in her wise, trusting, humble reply. And so Jesus commended her. And then Jesus showed his great power by casting the demon out of the girl from a distance. And this is the only long-distance miracle that Mark records in his gospel. Although we see a few other instances of Jesus healing or working miracles from a distance in other gospels, but in Mark's gospel, this is the only one. What an amazing reply, display of Jesus' power. Jesus is not limited by time or distance or circumstances. Jesus is all-powerful Son of the all-powerful God. And nothing is too difficult for him. Nothing is too difficult for him. Verse 30 tells us, she went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. She was delivered from the grips of the devil. So, brothers and sisters, you see, the biblical witness constantly affirms that God's mercy is not confined by human boundaries. Always remember that. But it is extended to all creation. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, the scriptures reveal a God whose compassion knows no limits and inviting all to experience his grace and forgiveness through faith in Jesus Christ. Now at Zion Serangoon, we continue to endeavor to be faithful disciples of Christ, to be missionary. The Great Commission is a concept that we be missional, support missionary activities, being missionaries ourselves, sharing spreading the gospel, making disciples. Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. God's mercy extended to all. No status, no heritage, no ethnic, racial, or national barriers. Just faith in Jesus. God welcomes everyone, even those whom society may overlook. So may the Lord be merciful to us and enable us to truly be His ambassadors to share the gospel of Christ. Now today, we observe the Lord's Supper together in remembrance of Christ's sacrificial love, His life, His death on the cross and resurrection, and His promise to come again. So may I invite you to please spend some quiet moments with the Lord. Confess your sins and prepare to partake of the sacraments of the bread and cup, which represents the body and the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. Please spend a moment of silence and talking to God.